Welcome to Randomania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. Yes, my name is Brad. Joining me this evening is my brother, Matt, in Madison. What's up?
Hey, in Nashville. How you doing there, Bradley? I hear it's storming there pretty good. It's windy as heck here on a Monday night. It's good to see your face and hear your voice. It's my calling card now, so that's what I got to start with, man. Nice to do this on a Monday night for once. Let's see how this goes. Right before Raw's going to go on the air.
Yeah, we're going to get Raw. We're going to get Raw with some old wrestling. We had them watch a match this week for the premise of the show. Obviously, we select a WrestleMania match. We watch it. We picked a random generator. And we had to watch a match this week, Matt. What match was that?
We got number 37. 37? Oh, to Kevin Smith again. From WrestleMania 4. Yeah, in a row. From WrestleMania 4, March 27th, 1988. From Boardwalk Hall, a.k.a. Trump Plaza, as they called it here. In front of 19,199 people. We had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Greg the Hammer Valentine in a first-round match for the tournament vacant title, WrestleMania 4. Our second first-round match here in, I don't know, three, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that.
Well, we had a second-round match, yeah. But it is March, so it is fitting. The March Madness that WWE put on in March of 1988, known as WrestleMania 4, as we discussed last time, was my favorite growing up. It was the double VHS that when you flipped it open, had the flip out of Hogan. Maybe you can find a picture of that and put that on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Because that was some very good Coliseum work, Coliseum video. Shout out. Yeah, WrestleMania 4, Donald Trump gets a lot of FaceTime in this match too. Right?
No doubt. Yeah, a couple times. Like, and prominently right after the match ends even.
Yeah, that's well, because this was early in the card. This is what, the third match of the card, I believe. After the there was the Battle Royal, and then there was the opening match of the tournament, and then this one.
Yeah, it was DiBiase and Duggan right before this. There was a Honky interview, and they rolled right into this. So, for those that listened a couple weeks ago, the backstory is going to be the same, but I think we should go over it again just in case. This is the first time you're ever listening to the podcast. So the WWF title had been vacated. There was some controversy in the best storyline, I say, in the history of the WWF. February 5th, 1988, there was the main event aired where we had the twin referees, right? Andre pins Hogan, but the referee counts to three. Even though Hogan's shoulder gets up at two, they announce Andre as the new champion, and then he gives the World Tag Team Championship to, he says World Tag Team Championship twice, by the way, Andre does, and gives it to Ted DiBiase, and then another referee comes out that looks exactly like the referee that was in the match, with the premise being that Ted DiBiase paid somebody to get facial reconstructive surgery to look exactly like this referee, when all, like, in all honesty, it was just Dave and Earl Hebner, who are twins. But still, fantastic storyline. And I posted that match and that story from the main event on our Facebook page, if you want to go back and check that out, Randomania Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, well said there. I got nothing else to add as far as the build to the event. So this was basically just two guys that were in the tournament that were participants, you know. I guess they had to select, what, the top 14 dudes that they felt in the company at the time, I suppose.
Yeah, guys that weren't already other champions, too, because there's other championship matches at this Mania, right? So this is kind of like not the young, really undercard guys or maybe the really old veterans, because there's a couple of those guys that are in that Battle Royal at the start of the show. But it's, yeah, pretty much the prominent singles competitors in the company at the time. Yeah, and I mean, I would say Hammer and Dragon are both, you know, semi-main main event dudes. I mean, they've been around in WWF for a few years at this point.
Yes, actually mentioned in the broadcast, both former Intercontinental Champions.
Yeah.
So they do have a pedigree to them. They they're reasonably, I guess, if they had a tournament now, I don't know who you'd put those equivalent to, but mid-card dudes that are legit, that, you know, beat up jobbers on TV.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a equivalent to like a Baron Corbin and, you know, Jeff Hardy. You know what I mean?
Like, or a Ricochet or somebody.
Like a Ricochet, yeah. Yeah, Aleister Black. Dudes that are still going to be on a main event here and there, but aren't really like the prominent number one guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fringy. So, yeah, we get Hammer is already in the ring once we get to after the interview. Once we're talking about the actual match here. Yeah, Hammer's already in the ring. He doesn't even get to walk down the aisle, but he's got a sweet robe.
I've noticed the robe, too, and made note of it. I love that robe. I think it's got hearts. Are they hearts? They're red and white hearts over the black like sequin robe.
Yeah, it looks like red and white hearts that are gems cut into heart shape all over. Really nice, you know. That's when ring jackets was an art form, I guess. You know.
Yeah, and I think the same guy that made Hammer's robes is the same guy that. Sorry, it's a female. Sorry, for same lady that made Ric Flair's robes. So kind of all in the same vein. So, because I know Valentine and Flair are good friends in real life then and now. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they both. I forget the gal's name. Flair says it a lot, but yeah, she made both their robes. So that makes sense, right? They kind of have the same look. With Hammer's got less feathers.
Honestly. There was a lot of Ric Flair kind of coming out to me a lot from the Hammer during this entire match because he, you know, I mean, he's blonde, he's a heel, he's just different because he's the Hammer. He's different. He's not like the nature boy, you know. He's not strutting his stuff for the ladies. He's also trying to be a tough guy, but
even the boots and the tights,
yeah, he's got a bit of flair in him, which is nice. But he's still very much himself, I guess. You know, Greg Valentine is. One of a kind in a way. He's very much, I guess, somebody as like a stereotypical wrestler from the 80s a lot, I guess you'd say. I mean, he's got he's huge, but he's also not in shape, but he's huge. He's also strong. You could tell. He'd whoop your ass if you got into a fight with him. Like, do not fuck with this guy.
Yeah, I would say he's not...
of Greg Valentine.
No, it's pretty perfect, because I would say, like, he's not the best in shape guy. That you'll know. Like when you see him, you're not like, oh, this dude's like ripped and totally in shape, but legit, like one of the things they always talk about Greg Valentine, it takes him about 45 minutes to get going, Jesse. That's always a thing that they talk about in a Greg Valentine match, that if the longer it goes, the better the Hammer is. But you know, he's got a gut on him, but he still has a six pack, you know what I mean? Like the dude is he's kind of like roid gut, as I think they've called it in the 80s, where you kind of you're retaining all that water, so pushes your muscles out to your belly head, so you still, even though you got a beer gut, it's abbed, so, you know, just like the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, I'm sure he is cycling a lot of things at the time.
yeah, it's 1988 WWF. They were doing a little something extra.
Out though, gets his proper entrance, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Now, first thing I noted is that is not his music, because I'm pretty sure he came out to the, didn't he come out to the Jordan...
Yeah, the song is called Sirius. Sirius. Yeah, and on the network, it's completely cut out. Now, if you go back and watch the video that I posted on the Facebook page at Random Mania Podcast, he comes out to that because it's taken right from the Coliseum video, you know, feed, I guess, for lack of a better term. So if you you can probably go back and listen to any early 90s Chicago Bulls starting lineup, you know, it's, and now... You're Chicago Bulls, and it's always that serious song playing in the background. Maybe we could hear it right now. Maybe what do you, I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, so yeah, that's that song. We all know that song. And so anyway, they put some weird thing over it on the network.
Horrible.
What's also notable on this entrance, though, is I think this is the first time anyone, and maybe the last time anyone's coming out with their infant son.
Yeah, he's pretty newborn here.
Yeah, he's less than one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Probably six, I don't know, I had babies, but that was a long time ago. So maybe, I don't know, 10, 11 month old, I would say, maybe nine.
Still pretty baby pudgied face, but he looks just like Ricky Steamboat. So
sure does, like yeah.
Here's your trivia. That kid's name is Richie Steamboat, and he worked for the WWF. He was in developmental from 2009 to 2013.
Yeah, I think I remember when he was in developmental, and I realized as I saw him getting carried out to the ring today, I said, "What happened to that guy?"
Yeah, he he was in developmental for a couple of years, was probably going to get called up relatively quick, and he suffered a pretty bad injury. Now, I forget what it was, but bad enough that he was never able to wrestle again. So he doesn't wrestle anymore. You know, it's been 8 years, but yeah, he was pretty promising, pretty good. I mean, there's some stuff for him on the network. I think if you go back and look at that early NXT stuff, he's on there.
Dang, that's a bummer of a story.
Yeah. Peacock now, I guess. Network isn't really a thing anymore.
God damn it.
I know. I'm still going to call it the network now and for now, then now and forever, just so we're on the same page.
There you go. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that Earl Hebner as the referee, by the way?
I believe it is Earl Hebner as the referee.
Yeah, I was like, wait, wasn't he...
He's thinner than Dave.
Yeah, I was like, wasn't he just in the thing a month ago?
Yeah, did we just
breeze right past that this guy's crooked, and now he's fucking refereeing during a tournament match?
Yeah, I guess they just figured that, you know, all right, well, he did a good job until the match ended, so we'll give him a job. I don't know.
Dude literally got paid to have plastic surgery to cheat somebody out of the championship, and now he's refereeing a tournament match for said championship? I was kind of surprised.
But here's the thing, though, right? This isn't the crooked referee. This is the one that got this isn't the one that got paid to look like that guy. This is the real referee that was locked in the back and didn't get to referee the match.
Oh,
see,
right?
See, yeah.
Okay, I forgot about that.
But yes, it is Earl Hebner, because Earl Hebner. Yes, it is, and Dave Hebner was the referee. Now it's Earl, but they're one and the same. And yeah, but I'm with you.
Yeah, I just thought, okay, well, I don't know. It's hard to tell. They had plastic surgery to look the same. I'm suspicious as hell, by the way.
Shut up. Steamboat looking real good, man. Jacked up, super in shape. Like, he's not as big as he was. He was even bigger than this maybe like 6-7 years prior to this, working in the NWA. He was really jacked up because he was doing like, I don't want to say bodybuilding competitions, but kind of like, oh, I'm back at like fitness. I guess I would be bodybuilding back in the day, so he was even more jacked. But he looks pretty tanned up and jacked up here with his plain-ass red tights.
Yeah, he really looks good next to Hammer, too.
Helps. Totally, yeah. Plain-ass red tights, though, real boring.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I mean, it's fine, but when I think of Ricky Steamboat, I always felt like he had like dragons on him or something. He didn't have dragons on his boots, but I just thought might have a little bit more to him here.
So the match actually starts. There's a lot of great arm drag, a lot of good Ricky Steamboat shit happening in the beginning of the match.
Yeah, it's really just a wrestling match, but it's not bad. Again, we got Jesse the Body Ventura and Gorilla calling the match, and they're some weird commentary. They do focus a lot on the match, though, which is nice. But yeah, man, it's a match that you would see at a house show in 88, probably not even on TV, because it's probably 4 minutes longer than you would see if it was on TV. It's not bad, but yeah, good arm drags, just typical body slam, atomic drop, a lot of chops.
Oh yeah, there's a few things I noticed in this match that I did like, if we're just going to just lump it together, because I think we should. You're right, it is just a straight-up wrestling match from 1988. There's a few things in there, there's a little bit of physicality I really like. Those chops, they were laying them the fuck in, especially at the end.
Yeah, both. Well, even at one point, you can see Trump in the background watching, like, yeah, they're putting on a show for the Donald back there. Steamboat's chops are definitely back of the hand, where Hammer's coming down, like, overhead or overhand, you know, like, slapping right in the clavicle area. Like, goddamn, boy, you're going to hurt that man.
Yeah, just receipt after receipt after receipt.
Yeah.
And like, damn, these guys are going now. I was like... Another thing, observation I made for the match off the top of my head, there was a 15-minute time limit as it was a first-round match. It felt like, I don't know the time, you probably have it, but it felt like that was pretty close to 15, wasn't it?
It wasn't. I'll tell you when we get there. But we did. So this WrestleMania does have a first-round draw. There is a match in this that they do have a 15-minute draw, and if you were going to compare that to this, I would say that is definitely longer than this one, just by watching it. I think it's Rude and Jake, by the way.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yeah. Anyway, I completely forgot about it. I was like, I only remember a count out and a DQ. I don't remember a time limit.
Yeah, I think that's all the game. I think that's all the game. Yeah, that's somebody went forward through it. I forget who. Somebody got a bye. Was a gang? I don't remember.
And he beat Bam Bam by a count out. That's like...
Yeah. You gotta have different... You can't just have everybody pinning everybody, though, too. You gotta do something.
I just realized Gang got to the semifinals way too easy. He was very fresh when he faced Savage. Anyway,
Gang.
Good storytelling.
Yeah, good storytelling, man. And then, you know, if anyone's gonna beat Savage, it's the fresh one-man Gang. Maybe not. We get the occipital protuberance or whatever the fuck. I tried to write it down, but it's not a real thing. I looked it up.
I think I've thought about this for years, and I've always come up with
occipital something protuberance. Because the last name, the last word is protuberance. Whatever that middle word is what I don't know.
Yeah.
The back of the head.
No, I can't even think of it. I cannot. I'm totally blank.
External occipital protuberance. That's it.
That's it.
Back of the head. And I feel like this is the first time that body ever heard him say it, because he's like, the what? What did you just say? It's not.
Oh, here's the thing. I was thinking about that, too, and I was like, no, he knows this is, like, a thing he says, okay. The external occipital protuberance. So he goes, oh, what now? Just to get the repeat for the for anyone who may have missed that great line.
Okay.
So he's going to play on it, too. So he's like, "You, what did you just say? What did you call it?" You know, so he's, especially in the third match, they really got to play off each other. And this is something they've done, I'm sure, before. So
it's fantastic, though, because even again, later in the match, he's like, we're in the back of the head, which is called the back of the head or whatever the hell you, whatever the heck you called it or something like that. It's just a sweet callback. There's a weird Barry Blostein reference in this freaking match.
Yes, this is where you also get the obligatory Barry Blostein shout out, which he has in every WrestleMania. Somewhere else in this Mania, he will give a shout out to his four friends back in Minnesota, which are his kids.
Yeah, yeah. Terry, Tyrell, and Jade.
Yeah.
And then his wife. Yeah, and his wife, I think, is the other. But yeah, I think Barry Blaustein is his lawyer.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah,
I went to look it up and got distracted.
I think pretty sure it's his lawyer. But yeah, Trump gets some FaceTime, like a quick little shot during the match, and then you can see him clear as day in the background for most of the wide angles, you know, when you're looking at the hard cam.
Yeah. There's some big, fat, bald dude sitting there with him, too. I don't know who that is.
I don't know. It's got to be somebody. Rich. Oh, yeah. Somebody's got money.
Also in this match, speaking of the commentary, my favorite line Jesse Ventura ever delivered is in this match. So that's another plus for it. When he says, I don't think the hammer should try to go hold to hold with the dragon. I think he should definitely cheat.
I don't think the hammer should try to match up hold for hold with Steamboat. I think he definitely should cheat.
Right into it. So perfect. Oh, man. That's so good. At one point early, Steamboat skins the cat in a beautiful show of strength here by Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, or whatever Gorilla says. So I don't think you saw a whole lot of that back in 88-ish. I think that was a little more prominent, probably like Rocker's time, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels popularized Skin the Kid. That got a pop out of my wife. She liked that. She thought that was a great athletic move. So,
dude, it's hard to do. Imagine how much core strength and arm strength it takes to do that.
Correct. Yeah. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is coming in as a physical specimen. But unfortunately, he didn't win the match, right? I mean, this match was going on for a long time. Like I said, I thought it was pushing towards 15. And they were really going at it. And I thought these guys did everything they could to put on a good match within the 15-minute time limit. I thought, damn, these guys... I mean, it's Ricky the Dragon fucking Steamboat, right, first of all. So
he and Greg the fucking Hammer Valentine.
Correct. So these guys will have a good match no matter what. So you put these two together, and it was great. I loved it. And you know what else? Number one, I counted 6 flops from Greg the Hammer Valentine. Either face flops or back flops. He started switching to back flops later in the match, but I was like, damn, he's really going to face flop again?
Well, that's really... So they're doing a lot of their signature shit, right? Because he did that. That's a Ric Flair, another the Ric Flair thing for you there, too. But like even Ricky Steamboat going for all the two counts, like all the pinfalls, like getting tons of two counts in the first like 2.5 minutes of the match. There's like 7 of them.
Yep. Just bringing the energy.
Yeah, like in WrestleMania 3, that match, there were so many two counts in that match. So, like, they're getting their shit in, even though they're just working. Now, me and you are going to love this match. And maybe not love, but, like, really dig this style of match, because this is what we grew up on. If I show this to, like, somebody that's only watched wrestling for the last 10 years, they're going to be so bored watching this match.
Oh, I wouldn't say bored. I would not say bored. I would say they would think it's unremarkable. I think they would think it's not that great, like, in general. But I think any wrestling fans can see Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's work rate. I think anyone can see it. When you watch him go, he's fucking goes the whole time.
He never stops. Never stops moving.
So I think anyone can appreciate that form of athleticism. And I think I held a lot of wrestlers to a higher standard about that kind of thing forever until I realized how tiring professional wrestling is. You know, I didn't really... That's not an element that dawned on me until much later in life where I guess I just thought everyone should just go as hard as they can like Ricky Steamboat does. But... and like other guys that I like that do, you know, guys that just got motors on them and I can just go forever. So,
I met him. That's the thing.
You met Rick?
Yeah, I posted a couple years ago. He was at a Madison Mallards baseball game here, and I got his autograph and a picture with him, where I got to hold half of the Intercontinental title that he had with him. And he's a pretty nice dude. I mean, we didn't really talk much, but I did ask him if he was still an agent, because I use agent, not producer, because I'm not a mark. So I asked him if he was still an agent, and he said, "Yep." I was like, "Pretty good." a lot of fun. He said, yep. And that was the extent of our conversation.
Cool. You know, I met Greg Valentine before.
Well, look at there. Was that at that weird Raw show in Marquette?
Yeah. There was a show in Marquette. There was a wrestling show in 2000, I think January or so, 2000, in Marquette, Michigan, that featured Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine. And Bruce Hart and Sabu was there. It was awesome. Sabu tried to put the ref through the table, and the table wouldn't break. It was good. Greg Valentine, my interaction with him, well, Tatanka was there. Anyway, my interaction with Greg Valentine, we were waiting outside the locker room for the wrestlers to come out to grab a quick autograph, and him and Bruce Beefcake just went rolling right past us. He had a giant cigar in his mouth. And Beefcake was like, you guys had your chance before the show when they were at the gimmick table. Like, we ain't signing nothing. And they off they went, rolling their rolly bags out the back door of Marquette Senior High School.
I remember
and Sabu
that.
Came out. Yeah, and Sabu came out and was nice enough to sign for us, pose for a picture with us and all that. And I don't know where that picture is right now, but I said to Sabu, I said, we're here to see you, and I said, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Weren't the ropes
match
really
ended
loose?
Like shit. The ropes were really loose. The match ended like shit, and like Valentine and Beefcake just went to the locker room and would not come back out because nobody went through a table yet, and Sabu was like trying to entertain people. So that's why I ended up trying to put the ref through the table, and then the table didn't break. And it was kind of a shit show, actually, looking back. And but here's the thing. I was not disappointed in the slightest, in the least. I had the most fun that night you could imagine because it was wrestling, damn it. But anyway,
well, you're 17 years old, too, and seeing Sabu and Bruce Hart and Bastion Booger and all those guys, so that's sweet. Yeah, I didn't even get to see Steamboat work. I just stood next to him, and I'm like 4 inches taller than he is. Although he's a little shrunk now, too. Like, he's a little hunched over. You could tell that he's not... he doesn't feel very good. That's what I got from it. Back to the match here, we might as well finish it up. There's a big, like, kind of... When I say elbow off the top from Greg Valentine, I'm not talking about a Randy Savage elbow off the top. I'm talking Steamboat standing, and he comes down and kind of, like, hits his elbow forearm on Steamboat. Steamboat does do his patented big chop off the top rope. And then when he goes for his cross body, he hits Valentine with it, but the hammer rolls through and pins him at 9 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh, only 9 minutes, 12 seconds. They crammed a lot in.
Yeah. They referenced that he might have held the tights there. I didn't see him hold the tights.
I agree. He was telling the referee he held the tights. I didn't see a tight hold either. Another interesting thing before that, though, speaking of Crooked Earl Hebner, right, so he was over there breaking up a fight in the corner, and then he was breaking up the fight in the corner, and Steamboat, like, threw the ref away, like, threw him down off of him. I was like, whoa, and even Jesse went, whoa. I was like, what's going on here?
It's weird.
It wasn't long after that the crossbody and the finish with no tight holding happened. It was very strange.
I did write the exact words down, weird ref thing. Like, it was odd. I don't know if something happened or something got changed. I don't know, but it was weird.
Yeah, it was a weird interaction. It was strange. But anyway, yeah, Greg Valentine wins and moves on.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider it probably an upset just based on, fan favoriteness, who do people want to see more of the rest of the night? But you can't have every babyface win. You still have to have the babyfaces that won in other matches beat some other people. So I guess some would say it's an upset, but I don't know.
Well, you got to think, where did the baby faces lost clean? So Duggan lost, didn't lose clean. Hogan didn't lose clean. Bam Bam didn't lose clean.
Jake.
So, I mean, none of the first round losses that were where the heels won, or the baby face didn't advance, except this.
Yeah.
That's weird. There's only a weird like referee interference type thing right before the finish, but doesn't seem like that should have been enough to knock Steamboat off his game,
Yeah, I thought it was, well, even watching it as a kid, I always thought it was kind of odd that Hammer beat him, and I still think it now as a 40-year-old man. I just think it's just weird. I don't know. I mean, but it is what it is. I'm not like, how dare they do that? It completely makes sense. I just always thought it was kind of odd. Real quick, a couple notes before we rate this bad boy. Following WrestleMania, Steamboat left the WWF. There was some pre-match packages and interviews that they had done where he was supposed to feud with the Hammer after this. That was supposed to be like the impending feud. But Steamboat left to go hang out with his family for a while, and he ends up showing up in WCW less than by the end of the year. He's back in NWA, which is now called WCW, where he has some pretty long feuds with Flair and a few other people there in 89. And he comes back to WWF in 91 for, I don't know, a cup of coffee as the Dragon.
Yeah.
A year, maybe.
6 months.
Yeah, I think it was probably a 2 year thing I saw online, but I don't even remember him being around that long. But funny thing about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is this is not his last WrestleMania match.
No, it is not. And I know the next one.
WrestleMania 25.
Yeah, and he tears the house down. He killed it. One of the two highlights of the show.
Yeah, it was awesome. He had him and a couple other legends went against Jericho.
Yeah, and it was that and the Taker match, and then the Money in the Bank match are pretty much what made the only really highlights from 25, I think.
Yeah, pretty interesting. So I just wanted to bring that up. Hammer sticks around in WWF until like 91 or 92 as a contracted guy, but then he still makes appearances in 93. He's in the 94 Royal Rumble, and then he's actually in WCW for a while, kind of making Nitro appearances after that. Both are Hall of Famers. Hammer went in 04. Steamboat went in, and I forget the year. I forgot to look it up. But he is definitely in the Hall of Fame. And then this is both
04.
Yeah, Hammer was 04.
That's like three now we've had. Anyway, it must have been a good year.
Yeah, 04 was like a lot of the guys from this era that all went in together, like Morocco, Jesse, Hammer, Tito. Like, these are all the guys that went in, like, that kind of group of dudes, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah. WrestleMania 20.
Yep. It's because they hadn't done the Hall of Fame for a number of years before that, so they had to get a little caught up. So all those dudes went in. This is also each of their fourth WrestleManias. It's WrestleMania 4, so each of them had matches at the first four WrestleManias. So, and Hammer had a match at the first five, doesn't wrestle at 6 or 7, but he's at them. Because he's at 6.
Technically doesn't wrestle at 6, and it's the best part of 6. But anyway.
Hey, if we ever get 0, we can pick it. Hey, let's rate this bad boy.
Let's do that. Who went first last time?
I think you went first last time. Yeah. So I guess I go first this time. I don't know. And I haven't thought about it ahead of time. Where normally I do kind of think about it. I'm going to just do a 1.5, I think. If I gave last week's 2.5, last week's was definitely better than this as far as athleticism, but is it really, I guess? I don't know, man. Okay, I'm changing it to a 2. Randomly, it could be less, honestly, because there's nothing super special about it. If a new wrestling fan never saw this match, they're not missing out on anything, but I think if a new wrestling fan wanted to get a nice glimpse of what this era looked like and how to work, watch this match. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's two of the best workers of the day, honestly, and two of the guys that really had jobs for a long time because of it. Is it a 5 HBK match? No. Is it a 0? No. It's a 2. Yeah, it's a 2. I'll settle on 2 as well. It's a 2 because I liked it, and I thought it was good, and I was into it. And I,
I didn't look away. I didn't go on my phone during it. Like, I paid attention.
Yeah, you got WrestleMania 4, Jesse, and Gorilla. Those, especially this being early in the card, there's a lot of nostalgia for the commentary just because I've seen this Mania so many times.
Yeah.
And this is the third match, so that means I've seen this match a ton of times, too.
Yeah, you know what? I might give it, like, the match itself a 1.5, but I think Jesse and Gorilla bump it up the extra half HBK. So that's what gets it to me, a 2 for me. There we go. That makes sense.
Nope.
Yeah,
cool. We're in agreement. 2 HBK, cool.
We could pick one for next week.
I think we should pick one for next week.
I'm ready when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to pick a number between 0 and 358. 358 WrestleMania matches officially. If we get 0 randomly, we get to pick whatever we want, whether it's an interview segment, a singing segment, a match that we like, or whatever the hell we want. Hell, we could just talk about the intro video for a damn WrestleMania if we want to. With the Mega Powers. Explode! Anyway.
That's all that is,
though. I know, but it's great. We'll talk about that. I could talk about that for a half an hour. All right, here we go. 246.
2468246. Oh, boy. Oh boy, it's the Divas Battle Royal.
And it's from WrestleMania 25 that we just talked about? Is that 25?
It's the match right before the Steamboat match that we just talked about. It's literally 247 is Steamboat.
That's weird.
246 is the Divas Battle Royal from WrestleMania 25.
Divas Battle Royal from WrestleMania 25.
I know who wins this.
I think I know who wins this too, and I hate it.
It sucks. Boy, this is terrible.
Well, here's the only good thing about this, is there's going to be a lot of people in this match that we have never got a chance to talk about, and we will never get a chance to talk about on this podcast again, because when are we ever going to talk about Tiffany?
You're right, and we need to talk about Tiffany.
It is Drew McIntyre's ex-wife, for the record.
Oh.
Yeah, see, you didn't know. You already learned something. We didn't even talk about the match yet.
Yeah, this is... Now I'm excited, because also, this is 2009 wrestling, which I don't know these girls either. I probably know maybe two, you know what I'm saying?
If I had to guess, I'm guessing now. I'm just going to name a couple of names. We're going to see who's in it. I think both Bellas are in it. I think Natty's probably in it, because I think she was there in 09. I think she was already there. Maybe not, though. Mickey James is probably there.
Oh, I know. I bet you Beth Phoenix is probably in
there. Phoenix is probably in there. God, I don't know if this is probably well beyond like a Tori and a Stacy Keibler.
Be like Kelly Kelly.
Kelly
time.
Kelly, maybe Eve, like maybe Michelle McCool. Time. Layla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Layla. But I do know who wins, and it's none of the people that we brought up, so we're going to hold that off.
Nope. Yeah, it sucks.
This is the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal, right?
Maybe. It doesn't say that on our list here.
Yeah, but if it is the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal, then I definitely know who wins. I think we're both thinking the same thing. And it'll be some sweet entrance music to hear.
That is true.
Yeah. All right, well, that sucks. But hey, man, it might be one of those really shitty matches that we'll have a lot to talk about, oddly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. That's why we do this show.
So weird. All right. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
You know, I was thinking about this week's episode, though, and I was thinking about Greg the Hammer Valentine. Boy, what a great competitor he is, man. He beat the fuck out of him. He won that match. He won. He beat Steamboat clean in the first round. Anyway, so we're proud of you, the Hammer, and your babyface music was great. However, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
You're far. You're going to take a beating.